Welcome to Wifflecast episode 11 with Anthony Bevilacqua of the Palisade Royals. Anthony Bevilacqua is eighth all time in home runs, RBIs, wins, and strikeouts in the Palisades. Anthony Bevilacqua, coming up next. Okay, I have Anthony Bevilacqua. Bevilacqua, is that right?
Bevilacqua, just like Brett Bevilacqua.
I thought you guys were brothers at first.
You know, he has a brother named Anthony. And Anthony's actually the guy who makes the scuff stats. He made the website, so he developed that. So there is another A. Bev.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, when you played in Hudson Valley, I remember telling Brett, hey, you know, I'm playing with your brother. And he's like, Anthony's not my brother.
Well, he spells the name wrong. It's he's B-E-V-E. I'm B-E-V-I, and he admits it. It's something happened at Ellis Island. I'm sure they screwed up the Italians there.
Good stuff. 2011, you came into the league.
Yeah, basically, I was... What was I, 38 years old that year I was turning.
Wow.
I basically, the way I got into wiffle ball was in 2009. We used to go to this island beach off the coast of Greenwich. I saw some guys playing wiffle ball on the beach, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, I was 36 at the time. I was just, like, chilling out, you know. I hadn't played baseball in, like, 15 years plus. And I entered some tournaments, like some slow stuff, medium stuff. And then all of a sudden in 2010, I got this email from this guy, Richard Ewald. He's like, you got to check out this league in the Palisades. This guy, Brett Bevilacqua, runs it. And I was like, well, Bevilacqua? I said, I got to go. I said, I don't care what it is. I don't care if I can't play. I got to try it out. So, I went to the the spring training. I had a Yankee shirt on, and Joey DeJoya just saw me with the shirt, and he's like, all right, you're on my team, basically.
Yeah.
I wasn't impressive in spring training. You know, I was struggling, you know, but
wow.
He just went with that.
Well, you batted .291 that year. You had 9 homers, and looks like a 3.09 ERA, which isn't too bad. Most people struggle that first year.
Well, the thing is like, I did struggle early. I mean, I started out 0-3, one game. My second game, I think, I pitched, you know, basically every game that year. Because Joey's guy got hurt. Actually, he left. So what happened was the second game of the year, I walked 12 guys, gave up 8 runs in like 2 innings. And it was like I had to recover from there, and I had to learn how to pitch, you know. And so I was proud of that that year a lot. You know, I broke the innings pitched record, 79 innings in the regular season. I started 16 of 22 games. I was 38 years old and fucked up my shoulder pretty good.
My very first year you messed it up?
Yeah, of course. I went from 0, and I pitched 12 innings in the playoffs, too. I went from 0 to 90 innings. I hadn't pitched in literally 20 years. So,
wow, and you were forced to do it.
What's that? Definitely forced to do it. It was funny because, like, in week three, I was looking for a pitcher online, and I found Matt Riegler on this website called Sports Fight. And I brought him in to pitch, and he practiced, and he threw a couple of games, you know. But the playoffs with the Blue Jays, they were three-time defending champs. We took him to 3 games. You know, we won a game there. We were right there, and Riegler pitched 1 inning. And he said, dude, I can't pitch. I practice too much. So here's this 20-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Who can't pitch. I pitched 90 innings. I'm 38 years old. I'm dead. I literally pitched like a girl that third game, and we lost 4-2. So I was very proud of that. You know, that was very, very proud thing for me to come and do that. And you know, there was a better player in Rich Gallad that won the championship and could have won the Rookie of the Year, but I think because of the fact that I put so much into it, that they awarded me that, and that was really unexpected, and it was. It was a real honor, you know, that the guys voted that for me.
Oh, so you beat out Gallad for Rookie of the Year in 2011?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Matt Riegel. Now, there's a name that tell me a little about Matt.
Matt Riegler. So I get this guy. And I'm like, I'm training him how to pitch the way I know how. You know, I'm trying to, you know, not get him hurt. And you know, I have limited knowledge at that time, but I'm trying my best. Telling him not to practice too much. He's serviceable in some games, you know. He won a couple of games. But he's you know, he's a weird guy a little bit. You know, I love him, you know, but he's strange. And he didn't get along with Nick Anasalakis on our team.
Wow, and Nick gets along with anybody.
Yeah. And literally in the playoffs, they're actually cursing each other out on either side of the outfield. And I'm turning around. I'm like, guys, what the hell's going on here?
Wow. Awesome.
It was kind of crazy. But, you know, he's a kind-hearted
guy. Unique.
You know?
He's a unique person.
What's that?
He's a unique person.
He's a unique guy, you know. So you kind of take him for what he is. He's a nice heart, you know.
You know, I was looking at some stats. You know, your eighth all time in a handful of stats. You're eighth in the league in career in homers, RBIs, wins, and strikeouts. Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I know I'm in the top 10 of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an honor, you know. It's really great. I missed 2016 because I had a knee injury. So it's still great to hang on there, but I think those guys, the young guys, are going to pass me up. But it's okay, you know, as long as I have a lot of fun. And I really like the fact that guys respect me. I take the name ABEV as a term of endearment and a term of respect. So that's what it's really all about. I've never really been an ERA guy or you know, an average guy or anything like that. A lot of times I just kind of take one for the team, and just if the innings need to be thrown and I'm, you know, not feeling great, I'm going to do it. You know, I never missed a start because of an injury to my arm. You know, I missed 2016 because of a knee injury, but I never missed a start. I never stopped throwing two games, you know, early on. So I'm very proud of that. I know I have a high threshold for pain. You know how you tell people you'll give your right arm for something, you know? I literally am giving my right arm, as many people are, you know, that they love this game so much that they literally give their right arm for it.
And you'll be giving the Royals 40 innings, hopefully, this year.
Yeah, I'll try to match my age.
Yeah, to give Avalon a little help here.
Well, I love the fact that, you know, I have an Avalon. I mean, that you have a guy like that, you have a definite chance.
Yeah. Absolutely. You need an ace to compete in the league, and a serviceable or an adequate number two that can beat other teams' number twos in order to win. Not, obviously, like you said, you can't pitch every game. You're just going to hurt yourself. In 2014, your innings were down a little bit. You played with Trinari that year, I think?
Yeah. See, what happened was if I go back 1 year, in 2013, once again in the early part, I was pitching two games a week. I caught up with Billy Murphy. He was a 20-year-old kid, good arm. Figured he can help me out. He got injured in week three. So I was again for the third straight year pitching two games every week. And I heard that Trinari was unhappy with the Orioles. And you could really hear it on the field. He was screaming and cursing at him. Actually, one of the kids he was cursing at was Ollie. That was Ollie's first year, very young at the time. So somehow we pulled off the worst trade in history for everyone else but us. We traded Trinari. We traded for Trinari. We traded Mike Frezza, 15 scuffed ABEV wiffle balls, and $40 for Tim Trinari. And from there, we were 7-5 when we before we got him. We finished 18-6, and then we went 4-0 in the playoffs. So we went on a crazy run. The one loss was the last game of the year, thanks to me. But we went on a crazy run, and we were a lethal 1-2. I mean, it was insane. So he was that year that we actually won the championship. He did one of the greatest things I've ever seen anyone ever do. It was superhuman. You know, he pitched a 17-inning game in game one against the Mariners, 43 strikeouts. I'm looking at it now, the box score. He walked 9 guys, 11 hits. Literally, I did the math. That's literally at least 350 pitches. If you just add the numbers, it's insane. And then he hit a walk-off homer to win that game. It's just crazy. know. So basically, you know, and then we won the second game. I pitched that one, and after an hour, you know, I got the two-run homer to take the lead in the top of the sixth, and it was getting dark. He came in and pitched that last inning because I said, I don't want to mess this up for you. And he came in after an hour and change after throwing all those innings and finished it off. It was superhuman.
2014, so you guys won 2014?
We won in 2013. So then in 2014, he was on a mission to break every record possible. So he wanted to pitch as much as possible, which was fine with me. So he got the win mark. He got the strikeout mark. I mean, the guy was... He was unconscious. He had a couple of streaks, a couple of different streaks, two different ones, where he pitched more than 50 scoreless innings over the course of 13 and 14. So he was insane, you know, and a guy who was a little bit wild to be able to throw all those scoreless innings, two of them like that is crazy. But I just let him do his thing, which was fine with me.
Let me ask you this. You think at the age he was then in the condition, the physical condition he was then, would he be able to do that now, these days, with the improvement in the hitters in the league?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure he would. Would he be able to, you're talking about, like, the scoreless stuff?
Yeah, yeah, just to dominate that way with the new hitters that came into the league over the last 3 years.
I think it would be very similar. I mean, basically, guys like Whiffman, Girard might get a touch-up here and there, but he was throwing absolute cheese. I mean, it was cheese. And the thing is he's actually gotten better as a pitcher since then. It's just that, you know, like, the stuff isn't as fast. I mean, over time, when you throw, I mean, he's got 1,000-plus strikeouts. The guy's a beast. So you throw all these innings, and I think he's getting near 40 himself. You know, you're going to lose a little bit of that fastball. So a young guy like that with these guys, I think we'd still have the same result. I think we'd still win it.
Yeah, he's got about 300 more strikeouts than Jordan Robles in the league, so that's something.
Yeah, and Jordan actually came in the league the same year. He came in 2011, but he came in late. He was 4-0. He came in with the Astros really late, and he beat me, that bastard. We actually had a lead on him. I touched him up, and then he hit a damn walk-off homer off me.
Mm.
Typical ABEV move there. But, yeah, he's impressive.
You touched on something that I was looking at in the stats last year. The majority of your bad innings last year came in the third inning of the game. I don't think you gave up any runs in the first inning. You gave up a few runs in the second, maybe once or twice. But in the third inning, you've given up runs four times during the season. Is it guys, again, to look at you a second time, or is it that, at your age, you're tiring?
Basically, at my age, to be completely honest, I have a lot of shoulder pain, and I have to be able to pitch every day, every start there, I have to do a number of shoulder moves with the band. I have to really kind of numb the area to be able to pitch through it. So I'm actually, you know, I'm getting up there. I'm going to be 45 this year, so it's actually a matter of I'm starting to really fall down. but I think I could still do enough to win, you know, 50% of my games, which is what we need, I think. So
yeah, that'd be great.
It's I'm definitely not as fast as I used to be, and I've had some problems. But I'm a competitor. I will never make an excuse for it. It's just a matter of me, you know. It's just getting hit. You know, I'm not going to throw by you. You know, I didn't have a lot of strikeouts. Last year was my worst strikeout year. You know, I was a little bit more wild because I needed to be. I was trying not to throw as many strikes. I was trying to get guys to chase. So I got touched up a bit. But I'm proud of the fact that, and probably Jay can tell you this since I played with him, I really did grind it out as much as I could. So I gave it all I could.
My plan this year, in case people don't know, I traded for you at the beginning of the season, before the season started, I should say. You know, if we're up and we're in the third, and you seem to be tiring, I'm going to bring Ollie in the third inning, late third inning. You know, I just want the win, period. And I worry about the game afterwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, no, that's fine.
In my opinion, you know, I did it last year. You know, Patron would pitch a game, and we go up 1-0 against a good team. I'd pull him after the first inning. You know, I want Ollie on the mound with a win, with a lead.
They're precious. They're precious. You got it. There's only 22 games, and you got to get about 12 wins, so
right.
Everything is very precious.
If I got to give Ollie a three-inning save to get the win, I'll worry about the game after, you know, when yeah. when it gets there, because you can pitch a shutout in this league and still lose.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, so when you're up one run, you know, my plan is I'm just going to go for the win and worry about game two when it happens. Who's the Iron Man of the league? You're pitching with injuries. You're pitching every game. You got Trinari, you know, with doing what he did. You got McElrath these days, you know, doing what they're capable of doing. Who do you think the Iron Man of the league is?
Well, I mean, there's been a few of them. You know, Tim was like an incredible pitcher. I mean, he pitched so many innings. Guy Robles has had turns where he had ridiculous seasons. You know, at one point, Brett had played in every single game since 2007 for like 7 or 8 years. But what happens is, in giving your right arm, almost everybody gets hurt. One guy who hasn't is Tim Trinari. It's incredible. He may have pitched less innings by choice, but the guy's never been injured. So he is a superhuman machine. I mean, he does the Spartan races. I would vote for him. I think that he could last longer than anybody. I don't know how he does it. I really don't. He's never really been injured with his arm, or he's never shown it. He's never shown signs of it. So I would go with Tim Trinari.
What are some of the biggest achievements that you've accomplished in the Palisades?
Well, I think just the first year pitching all those innings and winning 8 games and being awarded the Rookie of the Year and taking the Blue Jays to 3 games, that's definitely up there. Obviously, 2013, you know, before Tim came, I was basically pitching every game. And I remember one time the Giants, same guys, McElrath, they were 10-0. And we were facing them, and I hit the first home run ever off Ryan McElrath. He had pitched the whole 2012, like 70-something innings, no homers. The first 5 starts of 13, no homers. And I took him deep and beat him 2-1. That was huge. And then just going on from there that year, winning the championship. And forever I will remember the walk-off home, not the walk-off homer, but the go-ahead homer in game 2 against the Mariners. It was 0-0. People were tired. It was dark, you know. And instead of pulling the ball like I normally did, I just said to myself, Jesus, after an hour of striking out, let me just get the bat on the ball. And it was my lightest swing of the season, and I popped it over the fence. So that was just a huge, you know, and my kids were there, and they're on the video. It's fantastic, you know. So those are, like, two of my biggest things there, you know, that I would say.
Now, that being said, what are your biggest disappointments?
Yeah, I have a few of those. 2012, we had a good start. We were like 8-3, and we literally lost every game after that. It was horrendous. It was like bad luck. It was me giving up homers in the last inning. I mean, it was horrible. Like, I fell off the face of the earth. I was hitting very well the first half of the season, and then the second half, I couldn't get a hit. That was the last year that, and I'm going to make an excuse, but I did suck. The last year that the line was back about 5 feet. And I hit a ton of them up the middle, and they just died up the middle. It was just a bunch of ground balls. And, you know, we lost. I gave up a lot of homers at the end. 2014 was tough because me and Tim, we caught up again. We were thinking to repeat. We were doing well. Tim was, you know, taking charge on the mound. And we faced the Brewers and Tim McElrath in that semifinals. And they bested us with the Maniscalco home run. I mean, that was tough. You know, it was a great game. I actually went 7-for-21 against McElrath. I think the whole for the series, and we just could not score. We just couldn't get it done. So that was a huge disappointment. I thought we had that. And what? Also, 2016, not playing at all. That was very disappointing. I planned on playing. I had knee surgery. It was simple. It was supposed to be a meniscus cleanup, and I did it in February. It was in time, and I had a blood clot in my calf from the surgery. It was 3 days later. It scared the shit out of me, and then they told me I can't play for 3 months. I got to clear it out, and then by the time that happened, I just said, forget it. I'm not going to play that, you know, in July. So that was terrible.
What are some of the things that you like about the Palisades as opposed to other leagues?
Well, I could only say from one league, that the Palisades is, it was like my, it's where I go to let off steam and to have fun. I love the guys. They're a bunch of great guys, all of them. Got to know kids when they were like teenagers, and now in their 20s with jobs, you know, over the years, guys like Dakota, Maniscalco, Daly. I think Brett Bevilacqua is amazing. I mean, he's an amazing guy. I mean, he's, what he's done here, what he's built, I mean, it affects so many lives. It's really, it's like what you talk about, you know. It's like, it inspires my kids, you know. The kids will see YouTube videos, you know, like, they see their dad on there, and they're like, wow, you know. It is, what I love about it is the competition, but then you're friends with guys. Over the years, I've gotten sort of softer on the losses. You know, I used to take them worse. I'm still intense, but it's the camaraderie, it's the videos, it's everything. I mean, it's such a great league. The draft, the award show, it's just phenomenal. You know, the cursing, the guys throwing bats, it's great.
I don't, guys from outside the league may not know, but Brett really embraces people when they come into the league. When you come into the league, you become a part of a family. You know, when I first came in, the Royals had a rough time that first year. And, you know, I gave it that one shot, and I realized without a dominant Palisades ace, we can't win games. And I thought about maybe, you know, playing somewhere else. And Brett just grabbed a hold of me, and he was just like, no, you know, what are you talking about? You know, you did good. You did this. You batted 300. You know, you guys keep trying. You know, he didn't want to let you go. You know, it's like you're coming into a family, and he embraces it. So,
well, he's building a league. He fosters talent. He knows that a lot of kids, even me, who wasn't a kid, you know, I had my doubts. I had my doubts coming in. You know, I played like a year or so of like medium pitch, just messing around. You know, I didn't know I could compete with these guys, and I saw the fast pitch guys, and I was like, I can't do that. You know, how am I going to compete with that? So you go from that to winning a championship and all this stuff. You're like, yeah, I mean, if you have baseball talent, you just kind of stick with it. Everybody's in the same boat. You know, it only takes one swing. And, you know, most people get that one swing. It's really a great thing.
I wonder if you'd be so kind as to maybe drop some knowledge on some of the young listeners that might want to, you know, give it a try or something like that. Maybe something in regards to hitting or pitching, or maybe game preparation, maybe some body conditioning.
Yeah, I would say the most important thing is conditioning. You know, don't just throw once a week and throw your arm out. I use armbands. I do various exercises. One year I even got a hold of, I don't know how, the Cleveland Indians pitching manual. I don't know how the hell that happened. I forgot the guy gave it to me.
Yeah.
I still have it.
They probably had a losing season that year.
But, you know, it's basically you want to prepare. So you want to get there early. You want to I prepare for about a half hour, literally. I throw soft. I do the bands. I get real warmed up. You don't want to do what some guys have unfortunately done, is like basically wake up from drinking the night before and come in and just throw, you know. You want to throw during the week, but you want to condition yourself. You don't want to kill yourself during the season.
You don't want to do Matt
Riegel? Yeah, he was the practice king. The guy was incredible at it, but that didn't work. So you want to not throw two games a week. And, you know, so basically I would say do the stretches. Look online, see what works for you, and as much as possible try to protect yourself, because almost every pitcher has gotten hurt. I mean, it's just incredible. It's just the nature of the game. I'd also like to learn how to pitch. You know, the way I learned is I watched Little Boy. You know, I went to YouTube and I saw what he did. I wish I could match it, but, you know, that's how I kind of learned. I learned the scuff pattern I got was from Ryan McElrath. So like, I would say learn from other people on their scuff patterns and see what works for you. You got to test things out. Don't go to a game ill-prepared where you have, like, two balls. You know, in our league, you have to have, like, 12 balls, right? So you have, like, 12 balls, but, like, three of them are good. You know, like, be prepared. You know, treat this like, you know, every little thing counts. You know, you have one bad ball, you can give up a home run or throw that wild pitch that you didn't want to throw. You know, and as far as like hitting goes, I would say look for the ball up, even if it's a ball. You'll learn the patterns of how the ball moves. So usually if the ball's away and it's a screwball, it's up. Those are the ones to swing at. If the ball's in your eyes from a righty, in on you and it's a slider, those are the ones to swing at, you know, especially if they're up. But if they're down, you got to, you know, be careful. You don't want to go fishing. I guess that comes with practice and getting in as many leagues as much as possible, you know, like some swinging, like batting practice or some other kind of tournaments that you can kind of hit in and not throw out your arm. You know, I've seen Jordan Robles do incredible things too, but one year with the A's, he had pitched in a couple of leagues. He was lights out. I mean, he won like 13 games, but when it came to the playoffs, he couldn't pitch, and the A's were sunk. So during the year, you don't want to throw your arm out. You want to condition yourself during the year to make it to the playoffs.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate you meeting up with me today. And I'm looking forward to playing with you this year. I know when I got you, I was getting an all-around player. There's no weakness in you. You know, if there's any weakness, it's only that, you know, like you mentioned, you know, you're up there in age and you can't do what you were capable of doing, maybe, you know, throwing two games like you used to. But I think we can get in there this year. I think the Royals can get into our first playoff this year.
Yeah, I'd love to be a part of that. Believe me, that would be one of those accomplishments that I would put on the list. If we can do that, that would be fantastic. And I'm glad you got me, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
All right, Abel. Thanks, brother.
All right, man.
We'll talk. We'll see you soon, man.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
And that concludes episode 11. Join me next time for episode 12, when me and Commissioner Brett Bevilacqua will be doing a post-draft prediction show.